Yeah. Can I tell you how much I enjoy, Taylor, when you just kind of just very casually drop in that your Kings are, I don't even want to say good, they're better than
you can say it, Trav. You can say it,
but they're not. They're pretty good this year. They're
okay.
Not good.
I'll take that.
Like the Denver Nuggets are good. The Bucks are good. The Celtics are good.
Kings are pretty good. That's the right term.
Pretty good.
They're pretty good. But
and how does that sound when somebody says that about the Kings?
It just fills me with joy. What have I had to celebrate these past 15 years, Trav?
That's not the point. You're right about that. I'm with you on that. My point is that when the Imaging was playing and Chris says, "Oh, you know, they're going to light the beam." He goes, "Well, they've been lighting it a lot." He said it like it's the 92 Bulls. It's like, this is what we do. God, we got Jordan, we got Pippen, we got Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman.
We got the beam, man.
It's like the Showtime era combined with Jordan's Bulls, and they made one team.
Like if Michael was talking about the Showtime Lakers, and he goes, "Well, that's just what we did." It'd be like, "Well, that's kind of true. They went to the finals basically every season for a decade. They are finally slightly above 500.
They remind me of the 02 Kings.
Is that the white chocolate team?
Yeah, no. That's Bibby and Peja, Chris Webber, Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson.
Game 7?
Whole team. Yeah.
It's game 7.
Just deadly offensive team.
The level of confidence in it just feels
good.
It's terrific. I love it. I love everything about it.
All right. I got to hear this now. Right, what
I
want to
do this in slightly reverse order here. He was also asked if he thought at any point if his job was in jeopardy, mm-hmm. and he said no. This is my problem. Like, we're going to play the answer he gave about the blowing the lead and all that stuff, which I do like. But that's the problem that I have with Brandon Staley in a nutshell, is this: any normal, rational person, not saying did you think you were going to get fired, but did the thought ever cross your mind that your job may be in jeopardy? Of course it did. He blew a 27-0 lead. Of course they crossed your mind. No.
Okay, can I give you an answer?
Sure.
Guys, I don't think about that stuff. I mean, if I can't live tomorrow. Sure. I'm living for today. I'm going to show up to work every single day until somebody tells me I'm not to not show up to work.
It's a better answer.
Next question.
It's a better answer than no.
Right?
For sure. All right, so the question was, how do you explain to the fans what happened 27-0? How do you tell them that you feel good about where you are as an organization, where you are as a team? And this is a portion of Brandon Staley's answer.
Because I've been the head coach for 25 games. 25. And that is the first time that a lead like that, all right, has happened. You know, and we're the team over 2 years that have come back. We're the ones that have made the comebacks. We're the ones this season that had to fight to come back, to scrap. And so when I say it's different, it is different, because if it were the same, then we wouldn't have made the postseason. We wouldn't have, at 6-6, won 4 consecutive games to earn the top wild card spot. There is progress being made within our football team, and you can see it, because the team that we have right now is a much different team than we had a year ago. And so what I would tell the fans is that I'm just as disappointed as they are, but I'm really excited to get this process started, because just like last year when we made a lot of big improvements in our football team that gave us this chance to compete for a championship, I know that if we keep making that type of progress, then we'll consistently be there at the end.
I'm not as crazy about it.
Yeah.
I tell you, maybe this is the answer that I'm looking for, and maybe this is what a Charger fan would want to hear as well. There is no excuse. There's no excuse. We were up 27-0. We got to win that game. The 4-game winning streak that he's talking about to get into the wild card, those 4 games, let's just look into the details. They beat Miami, who was the worst team that made it into the postseason, and I think it's safe to say was never really a threat.
They did beat Miami with Tua. I think that makes a difference, but you're right.
They beat Tennessee. They beat the Colts. They beat the Rams. And then let's just add another piece to that. I thought the Mike Williams being injured in that specific game had less to do with that game. I thought it was going to be more costly as they progress in the playoffs. Sure. Could they have used the Mike Williams at any point in that game? I still think what he's saying, the decision saying, "Oh, we're making progress, we're doing this." You were supposed to make the playoffs. You were supposed to. Last season, you were supposed to make the playoffs. This year, it's not a big shock or a surprise they made the playoffs. I think it's a bigger shock that they lost to the Jaguars, even if they lost that game 27-24 and there wasn't a 27-0 lead. I would have still kind of said, like, hey, this is the best draw that you can make coming into the postseason. You avoided Cincinnati. You avoided some of these other squads. I'm not as crazy about it.
Yeah, it didn't hit me quite like that because the question was, you know, what do you tell them? The answer is, look, we did better than we did last year. I'm incredibly disappointed, and we're going to make adjustments moving forward. I'm okay. It wasn't – he didn't do the thing that I was afraid he might do, which is, hey, listen, this stuff happens in this league, and, you know, I would do it the same way if we could do it again. Like, I really did think he was going to come in with that. There was a modest amount of ownership in what took place, which for him – is, I think, a step in the right direction. The problem is, everything he said, I think, is accurate, okay? It may be, to your point, Al, a little bit of a half-truth that you're not kind of painting the full picture. It's just, well, we won four in a row. Okay, but you're right. They beat four teams that, or at least three teams that were not very good. The problem isn't, does he put together a decent team? The problem isn't, are they a little bit better this year than you were before? Because I guess in any bit, if you're making more money than you made the year, like, you're doing something, you're trending in the right direction, right? The problem is, you're in the way of it being even better. It's not that you are doing this thing where this is a bunch of, you know, 10th round draft picks that you put together and you're kind of sneaky competitive. This is a team that's loaded with talent, loaded with stars. Probably, other than Mahomes, might be the first pick off the board if you were drafting quarterbacks. You got the guy that everybody else wants. Maybe Burrow, maybe, you know, Allen, but he's in the mix, right? If you're just taking guys. And you're the guy that's in the way of it going even further. Mm. It's not that you're not right about what he's saying. It's just that this wasn't a turnover, a blocked kick, a bad call. It was
a full collapse.
You not full collapse. Stopping a collapse that took, what, 2 hours to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen like that. It took two. We all saw it coming. We all saw the touchdown before the end of the half and went like, okay, this game was
Let's
over.
Do the math
now,
here.
Now it's not quite over. They're going to win, but it's 10 points. Oh, wait, they're going for two. Wait, a field goal beat it. The whole thing happened. But he didn't totally punt on the, hey, you're a bozo, right? He took some ownership in it and gave it a little context. For him, I think that's a major step in the right direction.
You know, I don't know. I can't predict this, but this is going to be the do you think Sean Payton will have a job by the time next year starts?
Yes, because if he's interviewing, he wants a job.
Okay, so there's your kind of – that's going to go away, as in if
– You mean as an option to hire him?
As an option. So – The one thing I think a lot of people are saying is you got Staley, who's a questionable head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You have Sean Payton that's available right now.
Yeah.
You have Sean Payton who has got a chance to link up with Justin Herbert. You have somebody who wants to be in Southern California. Staley's going to coach next season. It's to me, it's clear that Staley's going to be there next year as the Chargers head coach.
He's not worried about his job, Al.
He's not. And if things don't go as planned this upcoming season, let's say this upcoming year, the Chargers, look, things happen in the NFL. You can go from being a really good team to a bad team or an average team overnight. Look at the Los Angeles Rams.
For sure.
Injuries happen. Your schedule could be a lot tougher than it was the year prior. And the Chargers had a really advantageous schedule. If they, let's just say, hypothetically, did not make the playoffs this upcoming year, and then they decided, now we're going to fire Staley.
Yeah.
That's the part, too, that's interesting where I don't know what coaches are going to be available, but the slam dunk guy that will cost a ton of money you thought is here in front of you, he's going to be gone in a year.
Yeah.
And listen, maybe Staley makes progress. Maybe the Chargers make progress, and all of a sudden next year they get to the AFC Championship game. I would just be surprised based off of what I've seen for 2 years from this head coach.
I agree with just about everything you said, but I think – the second you start doing a thing because of what might happen a year from now, it gets kind of dicey. Because for all the reasons you just like, I wouldn't bet my car on this. They could also go to the Super Bowl next year, and then you're fine. And you got rid of a guy, and you're paying two guys for no good reason, right? That's probably less likely than the scenario that you laid out, but it's not impossible. They could be a very good team. I don't like making decisions based on, hey, this guy will be gone now. I'm kind of on the fence right here. It just seems to me.
But you and I are not on the fence on that, and I think a lot of other people are not.
I'm not. I agree with you. If mm-hmm. if it were my decision, I would have got rid of him after the game. That was an inexcusable moment. But I'm just kind of putting myself in Spanos' shoes. That yeah. if he's on the fence and it's anything more than just a straight economics question, which I think we both think it probably is, mm-hmm. but if he's like, you know, it's only been 2 years. We were better. We did go to the playoffs. Let's run this back. I kind of get it. If you want to not do it just because, hey, Sean Payton's going to go, because what job is he going to get? The Rams' job is off the table. McVay's coming back. That's the one that you wouldn't really, because Denver, Russell Wilson looked busted.
Well, I was going to say,
Texans stink.
The Broncos one will be probably, I'll pay whatever you want to pay, but the question is, do you want that? Do you want the opportunity?
You probably
in
pump the brakes on Russell Wilson, though. At least think twice about it. The mm-hmm. Colts is kind of interesting, but you still need a quarterback. They got a lot of the other pieces, but. I mean, maybe you talk Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah,
Derek
you're
Carr.
Right.
Yeah. There are options out there. Shoot, Jimmy G, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy. There are options that are available to you if you really wanted to go get something done. You could. I'd be more interested in maybe messing around with Trey Lance or Jimmy G than I would Russell Wilson at this point in my life. I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I know that no one likes him. I know that he had a really bad season. And on the heels of a not very good season, on the heels of a so-so season, his trend is entirely the wrong direction.
What's the commitment on that?
On Wilson?
Crazy?
Oh,
just crazy.
They gave away the Rocky
everything.
Mountains to get that guy. Mm-hmm. They gave away everything mm-hmm. they've ever had. So brings us to the other question.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're San Francisco? They got Jimmy G's out. I think we can agree on that. But they got two really good options. One of them they've spent a lot of money on. One they found for free. What do you do next? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
As happens occasionally around here at 710, the big CY drifts in. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. I was at the there was a station event last night that I attended.
The happy hour action.
In which there was a funny situation in which at one point, first of all, Greg, by the way, Greg's command of the Yard House venue is stellar.
Just you got it memorized?
Impeccable. Like, he knew everything. I mean, everything was coming. He knew where everything. I was like, man, you really know your way around this app menu. And I credit him for that.
So there's something for this spot being just right there. I don't go there very often.
I hit it during football season fairly regularly.
They've got a road game. Yeah.
When I'm here, it's open. It's easy. It's 2 minutes down and back. The menu is like a phone book. There's a lot going on in there. For those of you that don't know what a phone book is, it's thick. It's kind of a dated
reference. Just occurred to me that might not actually be relevant.
Right? A plumbing company or a law firm is on the back.
Right. Yes. Funny. Yes. It's the plumbing. Yes.
Yes.
How much did that cost back in the day? Probably like $50.
No.
On the back of the phone book.
It was expensive.
The yellow paper. I mean, like, you got to dye the paper to get it yellow.
The blue pages were government issued too.
Yes,
white residential, yellow business, and then blue was.
You could have
government
up to three phone books on your porch.
You're so excited to get it that day. Ooh, it's the new one. It's like it's exactly the same.
Go sock somebody with this on a side street.
18-year-old listening right now, saying, "What the hell?"
He's not only saying what is a phone book. It's what is a phone? Is like half the question.
But you'd put it underneath the phone in the kitchen. You put it in the drawer in case that's where you need to make the call, right? With all the rubber bands and dead batteries, that's where everything went.
Unbelievable. Well, no, but it was a good time, and we went to the game afterwards. Went over to the crypto, saw that. So I hadn't been there in a while, but it was good.
Clippers Philly. So we talk about it. It's just the highlights were on the background.
Sure.
What was the vibe like there? I'm just out of curiosity. Was there a ton of Clipper fans? Was it packed? Was it this was the vibe? It's a Tuesday night.
The vibe was the food had already been served at Thanksgiving and many people had left. That was the vibe.
Damn.
Like people were there.
That's really good.
You know what I mean? People were there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like the main event seemed to have already happened and it was the second quarter. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, okay. Well, that's how that goes. But what can you do?
You were saying something. Listen, I'm guilty as charged. Coming into the season, I'm like, watch out for that Clipper squad. Look at their roster. They got 12 guys deep. They do
They're
this.
Deep, yeah.
Hey, they don't use Covington. Lakers can use Covington. they got real players that are on there. And you were more like, well, they haven't really done anything.
Dude, I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it. For 40 years, I've seen this
movie. I've also seen the other movie.
Which is what?
The Lakers movie.
Yeah, no.
Which is that great preview.
Two separate.
Not
things.
Necessarily the
two
best
separate.
Film.
Don't cross the streams
only
on that
only reason
quite
we're
yet.
Talking about the Clippers is because of comparatively to the Lakers.
No.
Let's
be honest. I understand where he's going with this, but
yeah.
your point, this is the same point with me with UCLA football, with the Chargers,
sure.
with Anthony Davis's health. I'm just going to go with what I've seen every other time until right. I start thinking the next thing's going
to
happen.
I tend to agree with you, but I think that the one place that the Clippers, the depth that you're referring to from an actual basketball standpoint,
yeah.
will help them. It has to help them. That's the only way that you're going to be able to advance in this team.
Now?
I mean, in this playoffs. No, not now.
but my point is, we said that last year. We said that the year before.
Sure.
Why is this depth better than the other depth?
But let's not ignore that depth he's talking about got sure. them to the Western Conference Finals. So there is something to
and
that
then
depth.
They
that is real.
Clippered their way out. Oh, the
but
Western
they've never
you're
got
right
to the Western yeah. Conference Finals. No. So.
But that was the time that it changed a little bit because they just had the one guy. I don't know. It's probably not the best way to look at the world. It's a little cynical.
No.
It's a little pessimistic. But if I've seen something 100 times and it goes one way 94 of them, I'm not going to
sure.
bet on the
you're going to lean towards that.
The other sure. six being the next thing that's
going to
happen.
You're going to play the numbers on that one. That's what the scouting report says. So that's fair.
That's just the way.
Did anybody go hard to the hoop last night?
I went hard to the hoop last
Did
night.
Did you?
Yeah. I went hard to the hoop post game. I don't like to get too, you know,
Durin.
Suits were there. It was a function, so yeah. I was being professional. I had my hi, I'm Clinton Yates. I had my television's Clinton Yates voice on.
Do you do the thing that Key told me that I didn't know was a thing until what? He pointed it out to me? Elbow in when you shake hands?
No.
What? He would always give me a hard time with that.
Does it depend who it
like,
is
if
that you're
you
coming
and
elbow
I,
in?
So I'm going to get up for a second. I'm going to do this. Like if you and I now, we know each
it.
Other.
Now
okay?
I'm thinking
so
about it.
Here's me introducing myself to you when we don't know each other.
And now that I do know you, I'm going to
right, come out. Okay, right. I get it now. Okay.
One was more corporate.
It's,
one
it's
was.
Elbow sure. in.
Yeah,
the
one
elbow,
was.
The elbow in is more of a tuck. It's what you do when you exchange a lineup card as opposed to how you slap
See
your first
your
base coach's hand yeah. when you get to first base. That's the basic difference that what just happened.
Trav
so were
also
you elbow in
on.
Last night?
Dang it. What did I do? I forgot.
You were.
Trav holds on to the hand, too.
I was absolutely elbowing.
You wait for them to let go, and then you pull them in a little
bit. You know what I like to give?
What are people doing with all that?
When I want to make it real weird, we're going to do this here, Sleep. We're going to do one of these.
Okay.
Oh, the second hand?
The church handshake.
The second hand is aggressive.
But does it? You go 1-2?
No, that's even worse.
If you pat, it means you're going to kill them. That's what that means.
You bring out your finger, you pat the inside of the wrist.
I've seen enough mafia movies. If you pat the top of a guy's hand with the second hand, that guy's a goner.
That's it.
All right? You don't want that.
Like, all right.
I'm going to go to corporate America when I see some of these ESPN CEOs. I'm going to grab them by the chin.
It's good to see you.
You've done a great job.
I've kind of evolved in some of these things. Like if I see my friends and I haven't seen them, I'll give them a little hug. It's fine. It's not super weird for me. It's good, but I'm okay if we just kind of never touched each other ever again. Like that seems okay with me.
You get one of these, you give a fist bump.
Like Morales. I don't want like, hey man, good to see you.
Morales is in the building.
To touch
Morales
you.
Got to see Julian. The consigliere was there, so like it was a big day for him. He was very excited to see Julian.
Oh, you okay?
Oh, Julian.
Question for you.
I can't believe you're here.
Did question you have the you. Ghost theme?
I get to do my impression of Clinton in front of your face. It was funny. It was a good time.
Yesterday,
yes.
We're doing the show.
Sure.
Lights go off. Fire alarm.
Flicker.
Yep, goes off. It's gone off for years here. Nobody ever goes anywhere. Maybe some people on the other side, but in studio, you're in studio. If you had the opportunity to be the head of that, there used to be a time, and I think there still is, there's a coordinator that puts on a vest, okay, and starts
like
telling
one of those
people.
Like road vests, those reflective
I'm currently
ones.
Wearing a vest, so this is...
No, you are wearing a vest.
You don't look
but,
like you're digging a hole on the side of the road.
Sure, no.
You got a nice vest.
I'm not wearing a work vest. Yes.
No, you got a nice vest. But there's somebody that says basically he's got to walk around. Every floor has one of these. Each office space has one of these where somebody's got to go around and say, hey, we got to go downstairs. You got to go do this.
But you're the last one out? That's the rub?
Yeah, I think you are.
I mean, that would...
Yes, yeah, I think you have to. Track, you can't be right? The first one out and say, I hope everybody...
You run for the hills the second the
alarm follow starts. Me! I would do that. Yeah, that fits my skill set.
Okay.
To tell a story, yeah. I was sleeping in my bed the other night. It was raining, and the power went out. This is a thing that happens in Venice every once in a while. It rains and the power goes out.
Maybe the dog urinated on the power box. That also happens
this
in your building.
With some regularity. The power goes out, and I'm thinking, oh, this is annoying. And then the fire alarm goes off, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is a big building. And
in the
like,
building or in your apartment?
In the building.
Oh, okay.
It's coming through that speaker. Please evacuate the scenario. That exact one. Mm-hmm. It's 3 a.m.
You get the hell out, right?
Absolutely not, bro. I said, I'm ignoring this one. I was like, I know what's going on. Something tripped this thing. There's no way.
So let me say,
attending Yates's memorial, I'd like you to play this. Well, I tried to tell him.
The force was strong. I was like, I just know. I was like, there's no way.
I would tell you that. How often does the fire alarm go off?
Pretty much never. It's the one time it's happened at night since I've lived there. That's 3 years.
So I'm not trying to get out of the place either at 3 a.m. But if I don't hear it happen often, I'm not going to fall back asleep.
To be fair.
Because I'm thinking in my mind is,
you didn't
wait,
even
what
just
if this
poke
is
your
the
head
time?
Out the door to see if other people
oh, no.
were leaving?
I looked out on the balcony, no fire, I'm good. I don't smell anything, I'm fine.
I think I'm getting out.
Me too.
I rolled the dice.
If it's not going off once a month, if it happens
yes.
regularly, it's like, there it goes again.
This is a college
later,
dorm
if it
or
never
something.
Goes off.
15 minutes later.
You can return to your rooms now. Thank you. So pardon the inconvenience.
We got an email. We got all sorts of stuff. I was like, I knew.
That's part of the reason I'd get out is because I wouldn't have fallen asleep over those 15 minutes.
I mean, I was acting like I was
safe.
Asleep. In case somebody did not. In case the guy with the vest came by my door. I was like, no, I'm asleep. I slept through.
For the same reason I don't throw guys the finger on the freeway, I'm just going to play it safe and get out of the apartment building.
I was rolling the dice. I was like, I thought to myself, you know what? I've lived a decent life. If this is how I go...
Look,
okay with that.
I'm the one that's comfortable with death. You can't be. I've lived a decent life because you don't want to get out of bed.
Bro.
Can't be that.
It was raining.
Like, I'm not changing my eating habits. If I get to 75 instead of 85 and sure. I want to eat my cheeseburgers, I'm taking that. But I'm not going at 40 because I don't want to get out of bed.
It was raining, bro.
That's insane.
It just wasn't happening. It was not.
I wouldn't
happening.
Fall asleep. That's the problem is I'd be too nervous.
Please evacuate the building.
Did Emily ask you if you think she should get bangs or not?
I did not hear this question.
Okay, so we're talking about...
The answer is no, by the way, but go on.
So we're talking about if, like, even me considering getting bangs is a crisis moment. So it's like, is this a signaling of a crisis?
And I don't think it is.
If I should get them or not, I don't know, I'm on the fence.
I'm going to say something that I hope this doesn't sound the wrong way.
Okay.
And this is not personal to you. This comes from my personal... this is something we do well. Sean McVay style. Bangs have never been on the list of things that I moved towards as a human being
right.
in my life. No matter the human, no
that
matter
that you
the
thought
world,
it looked good.
That's never been a play I wanted to run. That's not part of my offense.
We're punt.
On
he punts on
I'm punting,
third down.
I'm punting on bangs every time. So that's me. Separately, are bangs a cry for help? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, when I asked her, I said, because she presented the question, and I said, well, are you going through a crisis? And her answer was not... No, I'm not. It was, I don't think I am.
Right.
That means that you are likely going through something.
Bangs are halfway to the full chop.
I agree.
And the full chop is a massive crisis.
Of course it is.
Yes. Do you ever do?
I get my hair cut short.
Right, you have relatively short hair, but if you were to go suddenly pixie, I'd be like, okay, we got to figure out what's going on with Em's life. That's what we figure out.
That's exactly
the bangs
what
are halfway there.
Do you ever do a dramatic change? Do you ever do something that...
Occasionally.
And if... In that dramatic change, does that mean you're going through a crisis or sometimes it's just good to have change?
I mean,
bangs to the side, just like the concept.
I've had a cry for help or two in my day. And yeah, it typically means not a dramatic change. It means I'm not ready to make the dramatic change that I kind of want.
This is
you know
a
what I'm saying?
This like, is a proxy change.
Yes, it's a what's it called? Parasocial. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, all right, I'm doing something that
I want to quit my job, but I'm afraid to do it, so I'll just cut my hair weird. That's what it is. That right?
Precisely.
That's
true.
Yes. That's
yeah. Right. And I'm not talking about you specifically.
Okay, okay. That specific example. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay,
no, not
she ain't
you.
Going anywhere.
Saying, nothing personal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm saying that. Listen, yes. I'll use myself as an example. Sure. Okay. And this wasn't like I was one thing one day and I was a different thing the next. However, when I got fired from a job that I had had for nearly 15 years.
Epic.
Okay. The last year plus were not good.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of pressure, a lot of stress. I had a good job. I was compensated very well. I was living in, I did not want to lose this job. And I train is hauling down the tracks at my ass.
You could sense it's,
could, for over a year.
Cruising for a bruising, yes, it as was, my dad
it
was, said.
It's coming.
It's coming. I don't know exactly when it's coming, but I do know that it is. You know how my crisis manifested? I got into not just good shape, really good shape.
Oh, wow.
I had to get the nervous energy.
Diamond cutters. Diamond cutters in the breaks.
I did a 12-week boot camp. I did a half marathon. I was down to like 212 pounds.
Svelte.
I looked in college. I looked good.
But that's the greatest thing amazing. You could do in crisis.
But Al, but you're not understanding the concept.
That's not what he wanted
it's
to do.
It's not what I do. I don't do that. There was
out of character.
There was a massive problem in my life, so I started doing something I typically don't do. Right now, I'm pretty happy, and my body reflects this.
I will say this, Emily, is that there's another way to look at the hair change thing, and this is – I know we got to get out of here. This is the last thing I'll say. Have you seen Taxi Driver?
We're here till 1:12.
You seen Taxi Driver, the movie?
Sure. Yeah.
So the most accurate part about that film is when he goes to do the deed – and he cuts a mohawk in his hair because that's what dudes used to do at battle. When something huge was coming up, they'd go wacky hairstyle, doing something different. Got to go
out of character.
Handle VC, Vector Charlie. You know what I mean? Boom. Maybe that's what it is.
I'm preparing for battle.
You got a mission.
I was going to say, with all that, I don't know how that relates back to the bangs, but it's your call.
I think I'm going to get a chicken instead.
Have you priced them?
I'll look it up.
Find
I'll
out what. Do you have any idea? We're trying to. I offered to buy her a chicken.
I mean, if we're offering for. I mean, versus the price of eggs.
That's where we got started.
But I'm just trying to think. I mean, a chicken, a good chicken probably costs you a Benjamin. Right?
So it's a live chicken on average costs around $3 to $30 depending on the breed and age of the chicken.
Oh, that's much
I'll buy
cheaper.
You a few.
That's much cheaper.
I will buy you $100 worth of chickens.
I got a $50 bill in my pocket right now.
However many chickens you can get for $100,
I got two In-N-Out gift cards that I'll also throw in.
By the way, that way you could make at least a nice breakfast every morning because I think they just lay one egg a day.
They only lay an egg a day?
I think so.
Really?
I think it's one a day.
It's a tough ROI.
That's what I mean. You got to get a bunch of them or you got to stock up. One or the other.
Where's the AI chicken where it's pumping out 14 a day? Got to get working on this technology.
I bet it exists.
I'll take egg whites only.
Yolkless eggs. I love it.
So sweet.
Thanks for popping in.
Goodbye, guys.
You got it. All right. I want to still want to talk about that 49er quarterback thing. That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Are you going to get Tyreek Evans tomorrow? God, are we going to mix it up? Or are we going to go?
I think we're going to go wet chocolate since you weren't there that day.
You can pick whatever you want.
And the cowbell still. We're still doing the cowbell, right?
Did somebody order one?
He's got some other gear that I think he's going to get me in. He's got some other stuff that he wants to set up my area with.
And I found out that Slee has a Lakers fedora.
I have a fedora.
No, you don't.
Oh, my swear. God.
Well, they
Is
gave
it purple
him out.
Or yellow?
It's actually, no. It's like a darker color, and then it's got...
What color is it?
It's like a, I'm trying to think, I haven't looked at it in a long time, maybe black? And then it's got the Laker logo and everything else.
Oh my.
It was
this
a giveaway.
Was a giveaway?
It was a giveaway.
Fedoras?
Yeah, but I'm not, let's not make it sound like it's like a great quality, you know.
No,
the
no,
Angels,
no.
When I'm I work for saying, the Angels, they give away fedoras as
that's a ridiculous giveaway. Who wants a fedora?
I think the reason it's a good promotion is because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's it's purposefully ridiculous. Right? Like they do sombreros, too.
I wear my fedora to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Just want something classy. Want something classy.
This is from Jason. He says, I'm the proud owner of 7 backyard chickens. If you need the rundown, more than happy to chat. See, we got a chicken wrangler who's ready to take
All
care
right,
of you.
I got a quick random story. By the way, this is kind of funny. If I had land and if I had room, I'd have no problem having a couple of those. Now I don't, so it is what it is.
Keep them in the bedroom.
My brother-in-law
the dog cage
lives in Jamul. I don't know if you know Jamul, but Jamul is not far from El Cajon, whatever case is.
Little more rural.
Yes, exactly. They got—
it's a hard word to say, by the way.
They got space. So he's got like 4 acres.
Okay.
Well, 4 acres in SoCal is like, you might as well have 80 acres in Texas, right? Like, that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
And he's had, you know, animals in the past, stuff like that. We've had neighbors that they have goats, and it's just, they're just
eating all the
shrub and the weeds
they're
and everything
fire
else.
Fire prevention.
And they're,
exactly.
And they're bleating, you know, like when they go like then they have.
They bleat,
saying,
I believe is
what
the term.
They say they bleat.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
See,
you're
I just
not
pulled a Sliwa.
Well, you heard her, but you were talking over her.
I think I stepped on
okay,
you.
Okay, the weirdest
bit.
Thing about goats too is their eyes are rectangles.
The pupil.
Mm-hmm. A pupil.
Yeah, that's
alien eyes.
Deeply creepy.
All right, so we're going to get goats and chickens. And
yeah, because goats has milk. It has goat. And it also
you can make
has
cheese.
Cheese, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not a good
I had
stuff.
A goat for several years. Good pet.
Did you eat it when it was not your pet anymore?
Something else ate it. A coyote.
Oh, a coyote. Got
oh,
it.
That's what you got to worry about, the chickens. Yeah, they're coming after them.
There's not as many coyotes in my area of town as there is like when I lived in South Pasadena.
Well, you got to keep
buy
them
a chicken.
A
you'll find some coyotes. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you want to find out if you have coyotes in your neighborhood? Buy a few chickens.
I don't think there are many chickens in Silver Lake. Let's just put it that way.
I think there's a lot of chickens
you
in Silver
you're
Lake.
You're wrong about that.
Bro, there were a ton of coyotes.
Yeah.
When I lived in Silver Lake, there were literally, just no problem. Just coyote crossing this. All right, there's three coyotes together.
They can live in any environment.
Yeah.
But the Silver Lake strikes me as the
commune.
I see what you're
saying.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Chicken capital of Los Angeles.
I've got a coop and I raise my own eggs and that's
it's all organic. Yeah.
Well, I saw that part. I'm just it's the amount of coyotes that were there. I'm like, they're
and
probably
when,
feasting.
The mountain lions were hanging around.
If someone tried to put a chicken coop in my neighborhood, it'd be World War III. People would lose their minds.
What if he got rid of those storage containers
gone,
and
goodness.
Then he put a
yeah,
whole farm
I don't know
the
what they
yard.
Were, why it took them 6 months to load up two containers full of junk, but they
your
did.
Dad should add to his tiki bar.
Get a shipping container.
Get one of those
we
as
We have
well.
Enough cars to take up.
You guys still have wait, basically the used yeah. car lot?
How have we
is that
put
still
this
there?
Together?
Yeah.
Why don't you get one of those cars?
Okay, one, it's in Virginia, so
okay.
That's
have,
there.
You've seen those big trucks on the freeway, right?
Two, they...
They carry
they
like
also
10 cars
suck as cars. Like, they're not good cars oh. either. These are all clunkers that my dad
do they
keeps,
run?
They run, but so does my car. It probably runs better than
none
the rest
of your
of
dad's half-used fleet is better than what you have?
Not a single
your
one.
Your dad's got to merge three cars to make one good
make
car.
Make Frankenstein. Take all the parts off of the cars, make one giant Frankenstein car, and send it to Emily.
What is that? It's a Honda Subaru Tacoma.
Right, and so it's like... And all two of them are manual, and I know kind of how to drive a manual, but not well enough that I want to drive in the city. And then
that's interesting.
And then another one is, yeah, not better than my car.
None of my kids know how to drive a stick. I mean,
yeah, we never had one. We never had a stick.
Do you know how to do it?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Never had a stick.
Well, we had that's all we had when I was a kid. Like my parents' cars were all sticks. Is your truck a stick?
Yeah, my truck is.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of fun for about 6 seconds to do it, and you're like, yeah,
it's fun when you're going
sucks.
Down the hill. Yeah.
Yeah. One, it's fun to kind of shift through it as you're pretending to race somebody on the freeway. And then you get in traffic, you're like.
When I'm flipping off sleeve.
You got that clutch pushed down to the ground
morning,
the entire
man.
Time. That is a drag. Garoppolo.
Okay.
Odd man out, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be the guy that you see what you can get for. And he might be up at the end of the year. And then you got Trey Lance, who they moved heaven and earth to go get. They moved up to number 3 to get him, gave away a bunch of picks to make it happen. And here's the thing about Lance. He hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
He didn't play last year because mm-hmm. he was a rookie and they played Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
He played a game and a half this year. He really hasn't played. So
do we have any idea what he is?
No. I don't mm-hmm. for good or he could be the second coming of Lamar Jackson or he could be a bum. I don't know. Nobody knows. You just don't know what he's going to be. You kind of know what Brock Purdy is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you keep them both? Do you trade one? Because
all right, let me ask you. Let me throw.
You gotta give Lance a shot.
So, was Garoppolo only going to be here this year, anyways, and then he was going to go back in the market? Why do I feel like
they couldn't move him last year because he was hurt?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look.
because I just bring up the question, does Garoppolo, I'm assuming, does not want to go back to the Niners? Listen,
he
they
wants
love,
to start.
They love him in San
there.
Francisco, yeah. But they're obviously are so happy to turn the page on him.
He
they would have done that last
agency,
year.
He's going to be in free agency as of March 2020.
So okay, he's gone.
Garoppolo's going to end up somewhere else with another team. So now you got Trey Lance, the dude that you drafted, and you have
Purdy,
who kind of came out of nowhere and has not missed a beat.
No,
now, you got a game coming up this weekend against the Cowboys. Let's see how he does there. You and I talked about it. He hasn't faced any adversity so far.
Not much.
Let's just say, hypothetically, they play the Cowboys this weekend, and he comes back to life, and there is adversity, and he actually hurts the 49ers from winning, and it just kind of raises the question again of what you do. It would be kind of a fascinating offseason.
You have to see if the guy that you spent all of this money on is good or not.
Yeah.
You have to. Now, maybe you could make an argument that, hey, listen, we could go get another first-round pick for him, and
yep,
it's kind of a wash, right? That we moved up a little bit, but we got very lucky, and we stumbled into Brock Purdy, and he's our guy moving forward. Because it could happen what you said. He could come crashing back to earth, or
he could have another really good game.
He could be one of those guys that's a really good player that everybody missed. It happens again. Tom Brady was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. It happens occasionally.
In every position.
Yeah, you have to see if Trey Lance can play, though. Because the reason he was picked third in the draft is because he has all of the stuff that you would think would lead to success. It doesn't. Baker Mayfield was picked number one. Sam Darnold was picked number three. You have guys that get picked all over the place. Ryan Leaf was picked number two. There's no guarantee, but you at least have to find out,
okay,
right?
Okay, so the only way you find out if you're the Niners
is to play him. Right.
So if Purdy ends up with a good playoff run, they don't win the Super Bowl, but he just proves, like, look, I'm a good NFL quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Next year, then you walk into training camp and Purdy's your guy, but they keep Lance because of what you just said. We don't know if this guy is amazing or he's not. When do you find out about Lance?
I think you do the opposite. I think you bring them both back and you say Lance is our guy.
Or they both compete for the spot.
He's the first round draft pick who was the starting quarterback who went down because of injury. All of the things that lead you to, we're going to give it back to him. That rule of you can't lose your job to injury, that doesn't exist anymore. That used to be true. It's not anymore. We're going to play the best guy. I'm just not sure that Purdy's the best guy. He might be, but I can't. I have to at least play the hand. I have to see him play real games against real teams. If you get halfway through the season and it's like, nope, not really what we had in mind, then go back to Purdy and see what you can get for Lance. I know that his value comes down in that situation, but you have to see what you have. It just can't be, we got this other guy. What if he's better?
Okay, what if just hypothetically they're sold on Purdy? They just say, you know what, we've seen enough.
Then you never let him touch the field again and you trade him. Don't
trade who?
Lance.
You trade Lance. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And do not let him play.
Sure.
Don't do it. Like, because
see if a team says, we'll take our chance.
We were going to draft him anyway.
Yeah.
We'll take him right now. And instead of it costing us a first-round pick, it's a second or third. Yeah.
I do agree next year, if you're coming back with two, it is Purdy and it is Lance. And Garoppolo ends up somewhere else.
You know, Garoppolo's gone for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's openings. Indianapolis,
yep.
The Raiders, the Titans,
Broncos,
Jets. Mm-hmm. There are teams that have real. And by the way, Jets are not a bad team. The Raiders are not a bad team. The Colts, eh.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee, I think you can argue, is a pretty good team.
And I think you could also make an argument, any team out there, you get a quarterback that knows what he's doing. Obviously, anything can change over the course of one season.
What's more likely? Because I really don't know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. That Brock Purdy's just really, really good. Just really good. Or he's in a perfect situation on a really good team with a really good coach.
So for me, it's more the latter.
I think so too.
Which is okay, right? Like, there are quarterbacks that stay in the league for a long time because the situation's also really good. If you put him on a really bad team where he's got to do everything, he would come back to reality.
Let's say next year McCaffrey gets hurt, not a stretch, that the defense takes a little bit of a step backwards. Mm-hmm. Because if they do win the Super Bowl, not crazy. You know, we've seen what happens. Guys leave. Guys get paid to go other places, and you go from having an A, especially offensively, all over the board, to now I got a couple of A's, but I also got some C's because my other leg, and it looks very different. That everything, hey, you got a running game? Yeah. You got wide receiver weapons? Yeah. You got a tight end? Yeah. You got a great O-line?
They got everything.
Yeah. Do you have an offensive-minded head coach that's going to put you in great positions? Yeah. Is the quarterback good? I think so. But, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Six games and then a playoff game, and he's been great in every game.
Haven't lost. No. They've only won, I think it's 11 in
yeah,
a row.
Yeah, you're right,
now?
11. 11 they close out, row. I think, the regular season, 10.
Not a bad deal. The Dump, Super Crosstalk, brought to you by In-N-Out Burger and the cards in my pocket. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. How about this, Al? Bucks Cowboys had nearly 30.5 million people on ESPN, making it the Disney's most watched NFL playoff game ever.
Dang. You know, the most popular quarterback of all time, or at least in, you know, obviously our generation, whatever you want to call
best
it.
Best ever.
The most popular franchise in the NFL.
Yep.
Standalone game, Monday night, 5 o'clock. Everything kind of lined up.
No, everybody's done with whatever it is they were doing,
yeah.
too. Like,
yeah.
nobody's on vacation anymore. If you're going to take a vacation, you've taken it already.
Yeah.
The holidays it was the end of
over.
A long weekend.
End of a long week. Just everything about that is set up for that.
And what was the Lakers-Rockets? You didn't put that under it. What was the viewership
right. I'll look it up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Speaking of Tom Brady, Deflategate happened 8 years ago today. That was one of those things. There was a huge deal in the moment that when you kind of look back, like, who, if he wants a soft football or a overinflated football, what real difference does it make? And it certainly didn't change the way that I think about Tom Brady.
I remember there was a story, and this isn't I remember Phil Jackson had a story. Remember when Lakers, remember the good Suns teams where it was Amari Stoudemire, yeah. Steve Nash, and they were just Sean Marion, they just sprint up and
down
the floor.
D'Antoni teams that just scored a million points
a
night.
Exactly. That they would take air out of the basketball so that it wasn't, I'm going to move up and down the floor, kind of slowed it down a bit. I remember in the Boston Garden, they would talk about how there would be dead spots on the floor, and that as a defense, you would try to drive the offensive player to that dead spot. To think that things like this do not happen in the league, I think,
yeah,
would be crazy.
Yeah, but underinflated basketball, to me, is that's a thing, right? That they should be the same because the ball needs to bounce the same and all of those. Like, if I like – it's like,
but it would be the same way either way.
Right.
Right? So it doesn't matter.
I guess not.
It just would take – it would be –
it's just weird.
The style they play is going to be different than the style the team
– there are different types of golf balls. Right, there's hard cover golf balls, there's soft cover golf balls, there's golf balls that spin a little bit more and a little bit less than other golf balls. If you like ball A and I like ball B, what difference does it make? That to me is the football comparison. Mm. It's because I'm throwing it to my guys. We like it like this. If you like it a little, and I get, oh, it's easier to catch if it's softer. It's not like it was flat. You can't. It's still close enough.
Was it because? And I, you know, you said it was what 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, 8 years ago. Was it as simple as that there's a rule that it has to stay at a certain level and it was below that rule?
Maybe. Okay. That's the whole – it's like, what? Nah, Tom Brady's better than the Colts. Can we just move on and agree that that's what it was? Peyton Manning during the Manning cast said that halftime adjustments in the NFL, no such thing.
Coming out of halftime, all those halftime adjustments, it really paid off right there. That I don't know about you. I don't think I ever made a halftime adjustment in my entire 18-year career. I think that's the biggest myth in football, the halftime adjustments, right? You go in, you use the restroom, you eat a couple of oranges, and then the head coach says, all right, let's go.
Damn, that's behind the scenes there. I thought they were all sitting there in front of a dry erase board saying, hey, this is what we got to do.
Why aren't you blocking this guy?
Yeah.
Why is he getting through so easily?
Don't tell Doug Peterson there isn't a halftime adjustment.
Well, I think that's the deal, right? I don't think that you're having – strategy set. First of all, NFL halftime is like 6 minutes long. That you've covered the NBA for a long time. The NBA halftime is far longer than the football halftime, right? It just, they run off the field and they start the clock. It's 13 minutes later, that ball's back in the air. It's really, really fast. By the time they get to the locker room and everything else, there is. You probably use the bathroom, you probably have a little bite to eat, maybe if you want to change your jersey or put on a dry t-shirt, whatever. There's no time to do anything else. I believe that Sean McVay turns to Raheem Morris and says, hey, they're killing us right here. What are we going to do about it? Sure. But I'm, hey, Peyton, come on in. Stafford, come here, sit down. We're going to go over some film. There's no time to do it. It's one of those deals that everybody thinks, oh, the coach may – not really.
Okay, but before he said this, are you with me that you thought – I truly, genuinely thought coaches are, hey, I'm going in. This is the halftime adjustments.
No, there's
– this is where we struggle.
There's no time.
But aren't the coaches already doing that, like, by the end of the second quarter?
I think that there's probably – okay, this isn't working. We're going to throw this in the trash. Let's try something else. Sure. But it's not like they congregate together. They get all 50 NFL coaches in a room and say, what did you see? How about you? What did you see? It's like the clock is ticking. You got to get back out there along the way. All right, Emily, I'm going to give you a chance to describe what you have told me and what I have finally agreed with you is the worst basketball film ever put in, or basketball scene put into a movie.
Okay, this movie came out in 2002. It's called Double Teamed. It's a Disney Channel original movie.
I do not.
Okay. It's a Disney Channel original movie. I loved it as a kid. It was one of my favorite things as a kid. So obviously it's not going to be great. It stars the twin sisters of the Palos Verdes team. So end of the game, there's like 10 seconds left on the clock. Yeah. She gets the ball. She looks at the clock again. It's 6 seconds left. Her sister's saying, shoot it. There's no one guarding her. Instead of driving into the paint, she gets the ball. She does this stupid pivot thing with her feet where she just picks up her heels. She doesn't move. And then you take a next shot. She was like at the half court line. Next shot, she's inside the 3-point line.
And she hasn't dribbled, mind you. Yeah, she just moved up the court.
She just magically moved.
Like so a bad chess editing. Piece.
Yeah.
And so then she goes, and then she jukes, and then she dribbles again. She passes behind her back to her twin sister. It's a bad pass.
Yeah.
The sister almost falls out. The person guarding the sister jumps up and out of frame.
She pump fakes for a second.
Jumps up and out of frame. Clearly bad defender.
Right.
And then she takes it off. The timing on this is terrible. Everything about it is absolutely terrible.
Well, she hits a three at the buzzer. I mean,
nice.
It was Mace. I know you've watched it.
Wait a minute, have you watched it?
I did watch it.
Oh,
yeah.
And she sent out a link
to this? She sent out the link
thing.
To this.
It's on my Twitter. So watch it on my Twitter.
I have watched a lot of sports. I know you have as well.
You analyze film.
Well, no, it's more that you get really nervous during tense situations. It could be a Dodger moment, a Rams moment.
Right.
Unbelievable scene.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable scene. I sweat. I'm like, I don't know if she's going to make the shot.
How did she magically move from...
It's an unknown question.
From the three-point line to the post. It's an unknowable question.
Her pivot. She was using her pivot.
I like talking about this for no other reason than she gets as animated as she
does
talking
about
this.
She's very angry about it.
The scene. It's don't get me wrong. It's terrible.
It's awful.
But... I like how much it bothers Emily.
Yes, and I used to think this was, like, one, the peak of film, and two, the peak of sports. I was like, this is the coolest movie ever of all time.
Until that.
Now as an adult, though, I don't think it's good.
Yeah, right.
Solid. Let's do a little super crosstalk. All right, so Emily's favorite sports movie of all time is Double Teamed.
Yes, Double Teamed.
Double Teamed.
Wait, because they're twins.
Hold on. Have you not seen this scene? Have you watched the scene with the magic?
I've never seen this movie. Yeah. But Emily, this is better than Remember the Titans.
This is Any Given Sunday. Pretty good one.
This is better than Tin Cup.
Field of Dreams. Hoosiers.
What's at the top of the list?
The Natural.
Best sports movie ever.
That you like the best.
Tin Cup.
Tin Cup's pretty good.
Remember the Titans.
Yeah. That's like a classic sports movie where two opposites come together, overcome adversity. Then you get Gary Bertier, who's hit by the car. It's like there's a lot going on.
I can watch that movie anytime. That's a great
time,
movie. Classic.
You know, back when I was doing a lot of Roger Dunn ads, Roger Dunn brought Rocco Mediate in to the West LA store to do a Q&A. And so I was the Q, he was the A. And I said, I've thought about this a lot. Better golf movie. And he goes, stop. I go, you haven't even heard the movies yet. He goes, your question is offensive.
Wow.
And I said, I haven't even asked it yet. He goes, anybody who tells you that the best golf movie ever is not Caddyshack is an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
That's
true.
The right answer.
That is the right answer.
I go, I was going to ask you Caddyshack or Tin Cup. He goes, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
He goes, it is Caddyshack and not a close second.
Caddyshack is one of my favorite movies of all time, but it's not like the classic sports movie, right? It's a comedy set on a golf course.
Right.
And Tin Cup is very funny.
Tin Cup does make me laugh. Yeah. What about you, Slee?
White Men Can't Jump, if that could be in the category.
Ron Shelton.
You excited they're remaking that?
I actually did not know. I had no idea they're remaking it.
Yeah, there's a remake.
It's a bad idea.
I don't know if that one's going to do
I'll
well.
Look up the cast.
Jack Harlow is playing Woody Harrelson part, and I don't know who's playing the West.
And I don't know if Ron Shelton is involved. I would imagine he's involved somehow.
That's a tough putt because that movie is so iconic. Those guys are so iconic in those roles.
Right.
That is...
That might be one that you don't need to do, and they'll still cash in on it.
There is no word yet if Marcus Johnson is reprising his role. I think his name was Luther when he puts a ski mask on and goes in there with a gun and says, give me all your money. He goes, Luther, take that mask off.
It's
goes,
incredible.
Come on, man. I got this guy. I'm playing a white guy.
That's amazing.
Did a lot of people like Rudy, or was I the only one?
I think Rudy is so schmaltzy and stupid. And by the way, we've talked to Notre Dame guys who say it never happened.
Joe Montana said it's all lies.
Yeah, it's all hokum.
It's okay, so right when that came out, right after it came out, Mace and I had Bob Golic in studio, Mike's older brother, who was on that team. And he said it is all made up.
Yes.
Mm. He said they thought that guy, Daniel Rudiger, was kind of an idiot.
Rudy Rudiger.
Yeah. They said...
We interviewed Rudy one time, too.
They said,
I bet he wasn't a hard get.
He said,
I'm available all week.
Nobody went to the coach and said, play
not.
Rudy. The fans weren't yelling for him. Is this all...
Well,
that's a good lie.
There's an episode of The Simpsons where they run him over with a bus because he wants to go with them to the Super Bowl. He's trying to.
And
Rudy's holding onto the bumper. He goes, "What I lack in talent, I make up for in obnoxiousness." And they run
so
him
they
over
knew.
With the
Matt,
bus.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker must have talked to some Notre Dame guys.
It's not true. Those sports movies where they're so
over the top,
saccharine sweet and artificial.
I hate that.
Radio.
I haven't seen Radio.
Yeah.
That's Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Cuba
I haven't
Gooding
seen
Jr.
that. But Remember the Titans is inspirational,
it's not schmaltzy.
A lot
Holcomb.
Of terrible things happen in that movie.
No,
the guy gets put in a wheelchair. There's racism.
It's a drama.
It's a real movie.
Also not that true. Like a lot of their actual football schedule stuff.
By the way,
like,
you guys remember who played the racist girlfriend of Gary Bertier? Turned out to be a pretty successful actress.
I do know the answer to this. Yes.
Three.
Oh,
two.
God, I know it. I'm going to hate
one.
Myself.
Game of games.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth, yeah.
Damn. She was in that surfing movie.
Blue Crush.
That's it.
Yeah, everybody loves
I knew
Blue Crush.
I couldn't pull
highly
the name.
Highly underrated movie, yeah, Blue Crush.
You
Blue
don't
Crush
even need the sound
excellent.
On.
What's that?
You don't even need the sound on.
Yes. The particular realistic scene in Blue Crush is when the Kate Bosworth and her friends are all maids at a high-end hotel in Hawaii. Because all maids look like that.
Yes, they do.
And
that's my experience.
And they were so disgusted by all the things the NFL players left in the room that they went out to the beach and held up the trash can and went, really? You're making me clean? Yeah, last maid that did that and kept her job. Come on.
So Michael had his
Blue Crush.
Michael had his own version of the soup story. So the story is going full circle.
Okay, so here's the soup story, the way I remember it. Yeah. We're all at a big broadcaster dinner. Billy Mack orders soup.
Yeah.
Michael sticks a finger.
It was a bisque.
Yeah, lobster bisque. Sticks his finger in the soup to sample it.
Okay.
And everybody was grossed out. What did Michael say?
So Michael said that, I guess similar, but Michael said that once he ordered the soup, Billy Mack went and made the rounds. He's saying hi to people.
Like Billy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that... when Billy Mack was gone, he's like, oh, well, that soup looks really good. I don't want to order my own soup.
So I just went a
little.
And
the soup is just sitting there. It might be getting cold. Maybe he doesn't want the soup.
Right.
And then
why
decides.
Why would he not want the soup that he just
ordered?
And then decides.
He's just schmoozing the table.
To take his finger and put it in the soup. And the way Billy Mack found out,
yeah.
I guess apparently when Billy Mack was walking back,
Prince?
The soup was kind of shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
It was kind of
moving. Jurassic
Park
like,
why is the soup
T-Rex
moving?
T-Rex showed up.
Right. By the way, this that could be partially true, but there were 13, 14 people at the table.
And no matter what.
Did he really think no one was going to tell
Bill?
Yeah,
the root of it is he stuck his finger in somebody else's soup.
But why is somebody that's so germophobic like
so
Michael.
So disrespectful of somebody else's
That he's
wearing
his own hand
in
someone else's soup.
I will ask him. Stay tuned. I will ask him that when he comes in today. He's
I
on his way in right now.
I asked him during Astley and he just went, I didn't think he'd see me.
Like, yeah, that's what he said. That's literally his excuse.
Point,
was, I didn't
this
think
is
he was
a guy that
me.
The very first thing he does when we get to a hotel is he finds one of the housekeeper carts and takes like eight extra sheets and towels to lay them out on the ground. He's like King Joffrey Joffer in Coming
Hughes.
To America. Remember they used to put the roses
the rose
Michael will only walk on sheets. He will not let his feet touch the carpet
by,
in his hotel
by
room.
The way, I'm not putting towels down in sheets, but I'm also not walking barefoot on a hotel carpet.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I walk barefoot. I don't use the
the bedspread.
The decorative pillows or the bedspread.
No, those gotta those go are too. Like, yeah, those gotta go too.
But even at the, like the places that you guys stay in, John,
which are all 5 stars.
They're really nice places. These are not, you know, pay by the hour sort of situation.
No, we are not staying at the Motel 6.
Right. That those places you can walk through the bedroom, Trav, with your shoes off.
Me, Mason, maybe not Slee.
Maybe not
like,
Slee.
But any normal human.
Yes.
Anybody who's not with Slee and Michael doesn't even think twice about this.
I don't need slides in the bedroom.
I'm with you, Mace, on the bedspread. I am a little skeeved out by the remote control. Like, I'm not going to lie. No, those are things that are like,
well, so now
right.
What they've started doing in some of these hotels we go to is bubble wrapping the remote control. So it's wrapped in plastic and you can use it.
Yeah.
Not a bad. Like a I've seen remote
that.
Like
that started with COVID.
Like I do what Michael does. I just spray the thing and wipe it down.
So what's the deal with the chickens?
So, you know how eggs are incredibly expensive?
Yes, they are.
They're like triple what they were
really?
A couple of weeks ago.
I had
ago.
Eggs for breakfast this morning, and I didn't even ask how expensive worth they were. Eggs. No wonder. I picked up the tab because it was me and a buddy of mine were out for somebody's birthday, and I now realize that I may have paid way more than I used to.
Egg surcharge.
Yeah, well, when you get that breakfast at these hotels staying in New York something like that, where it's like $65
but no, this
for
is
two
just
eggs.
Going into the grocery store
okay.
and buying
so
a dozen
eggs. So the price of eggs have gone way up.
Like tripled. They're also Emily was considering getting a chicken.
Yeah, sure.
Which I fully support.
From what I can tell, she's got about 6 roommates.
Mm-hmm. I have three roommates.
3 roommates.
And we have a decent-sized backyard for L.A.
And I've offered to buy the chickens. Like, I will buy her however
how many she wants.
Well,
my brother has 3.
The prices are kind of over the map. The
he's
prices,
had them for years.
We've seen
$30 is
like,
the top.
About $30. So I'm like, I will buy you however many chickens $100 will buy. I will buy you that many chickens. And now it's kind of balls in your court.
I gotta build a coop.
Chickens are not easy pets to maintain. You know,
she wants filthy. She wants
they are filthy animals.
Productive chickens. She wants
so
eggs.
Don't you need well, one a thing, rooster? Emily, don't you need a rooster to be able to get?
Eggs?
Oh no! Yeah, to get eggs.
No, Emily, you were talking the other day about how much money you're spending to take spin classes. You could bail
that's
on that and
true.
Just chase the chickens around like in Rocky.
Ooh,
chicken money,
right? Yeah, that
like Rocky.
Be good.
Speed, speed. We need speed.
Grease lightning.
Grease lightning.
Have you ever had a chicken?
Yeah, you know what? When we were little kids, we would get for Easter these little baby chicks. Did you ever get those?
I got the marshmallow ones.
Wait, live actual
live
chicks?
Baby
not poofs.
No, not poofs.
Peeps.
Live.
Peeps. Thank you.
Active little.
I don't think poof is a word.
Little chickens, right? And they're so cute.
What would
when
you do with
big.
Them after Easter was over?
Well, they would get big, and then my mom would drive us out to the country. And she would say, just that guy looks like he has a farm. Leave him on that guy's doorstep.
You realize that those chickens were basically coyote food every time you did that.
Well, yeah, I assume that was a farmer in that big yard.
Who's going to take care of them?
Mom said it was okay, so I dropped him off
on
that guy's
porch. It's like when your dog dies and your mom tells you he went to the dog
hotel.
Farm
upstate.
Yeah.
the farm upstate along the way.
Yeah, we had chickens growing up, too.
Did you really?
Just randomly, yes.
Down there in El Cajon?
Did you name them?
No.
Were
I
they
don't
pets
think we
or did you
them.
Have
See,
them?
See, I think
eggs.
Emily eggs. Strikes me eggs. As the type of person eggs. That if you buy her 4 chickens, she's going to name them.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. You,
you
have
already
to
have
name the
you
food.
Have, do you have names in mind?
I don't right now, and I'm open to suggestions, but then it also is going to be bad when we're going to have, I'm going to have to eat these chicken eventually.
Yeah.
Like, are they chicken-themed names? Or are you like naming one the
yeah,
Colonel?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah.
Cluck. What about Cluck?
Yeah.
I don't think I can eat them.
If I name them, I don't know. Name one El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I don't think I can eat
we've already named them for
it. One of them's got to be named Popeye.
Popeye!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good
spicy
chicken,
chicken sandwich.
You just pulled a Sliwa.
Doing what?
Saying what I already said.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Maybe
well,
it's
not Sliwa just
doesn't
me.
Listen. Sliwa
yeah, maybe
does
it's
not
just
listen
me.
To you.
I, what, you said it earlier
I
or
said
just
Popeye.
Now? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were all talking at the same time. Right. I just wanted to tease Al again.
Yeah, no, Sliwa doesn't pay attention to the
that's
things
fine.
That are... He does
selective.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't
well,
think
Bergman
he knows
does that all the time.
You.
Mason and I can be having like a 10-minute conversation about the TV show... Breaking Bad, and Bergman will jump in like 8 minutes in.
What
go,
about Breaking
hey guys,
Bad?
What about Breaking Bad? That'd be good.
Okay, here's what happened.
And we'll
today.
Just stop and look at him and go, really? He goes, well, I was on the phone. I'm doing a lot of things here.
Emily asked about bangs.
About what?
Bangs. Hair.
Oh, bangs. Okay.
Yeah. She's I asking, have a very strong opinion about
are
this.
Are they back in?
Well, I don't know if they're
Emily?
Back in, but she was
okay,
asking
so
about
here's
it.
The situation. I have been contemplating, I've been thinking about getting bangs because I feel like I might need a hair change. My roommate thinks that, you know, our 20s is for getting experimental haircuts, and I don't necessarily agree with that. And I used to have bangs as a kid. So I've been thinking about maybe getting bangs, and I also think that might be a crisis. A cry for help to get bangs.
I firmly am in the camp of the latter. You are going through a crisis. Name a person, Emily, off the top of your head, who looks better with bangs.
Zooey Deschanel.
Not, I've seen her without them. She looks great.
But she looks better with bangs. It fits her face a little better.
I disagree. I don't think it fits
anybody's face better.
Anybody. Well, no. I mean, even like super hot girls who get bangs look great.
I Googled women with bangs, and the first thing that came up was Zooey Deschanel. Look at that. She does look better with bangs. The other person who kind of pulled it off.
She does look good.
Is Maze.
Cuoco did.
Rose Byrne pulled it off in Damages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But she looks great without bangs.
I was going to say, you guys are picking women that are just beautiful regardless.
Right. Yeah, they could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Emily,
you have to have a large forehead to pull off bangs.
Yes. Resort to that, to bangs as an absolute last option. Like if you fall face first on a skateboard and you need it to cover up something, go for the bangs.
Very
if not,
passionate
you're
about
out.
Bangs.
You know what I say? Do it for the bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it for the bit.
But if you do it, Mason and I are going to be dead honest about what we think. Just letting you know.
I'll come in with clip-on bangs. I think that's my next thing. I'm going to try it out.
We've already covered this. So I want you to glue them on.
We're not going
to
glue on bangs.
Of course, in this day and age, like, and be honest. So Emily, we had this conversation. Emily comes in tomorrow with bangs, and I say, what'd you do that for?
Then you're a giant you-know-what.
No, no, no. That's true, but I also could get canceled, right?
No, you're allowed to say I don't like
canceled.
Your bangs.
You just be a jerk.
No,
yeah, you just be a jerk.
She goes, she goes to Amanda says, hostile work environment. And
no,
I get
because
no,
we've been
no,
talking
no.
about it. If she just showed up one day and we had not talked about this, right. You go, hey, Emily, that haircut you got looks stupid.
Yeah.
That's a hostile work environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can say it just because we had this conversation.
Yeah, no, you see, you've laid the groundwork to say that's stupid.
Yes. I know the expectations of what would happen if I did get bangs, and so I'm if I do it, I'm accepting the consequences.
Yeah, Ireland will turn on you.
Hey, bangs and
let's
a chicken.
Find out. Disney, your move.
Bangs and a chicken tomorrow on Travis and Sliwa. Super Crosstalk's powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about.